Well, let's welcome you back to This Week in the Association. I'm Rob Pannier, joined once again by my good buddy, Kevin Lucco. And this week, Kevin and I are honored to welcome back a favorite guest of the show, former Fargo-Moorhead Redhawks left-hander, Kevin McGovern. Kevin, thanks for joining Kevin and I tonight.
Yeah, thanks for having me. I'm happy to be here.
So we get to say former tonight because you had some exciting change happen to you this offseason.
Yeah, you know, I was exploring a lot of options, and I got a really nice opportunity to play winter ball down in Australia. And it just kind of opened up a lot of doors, and I started looking, you know, deep in my career about what I want to do next, and being able to travel and experience new leagues and new opportunities. And, you know, I reached out with an agent of mine and found a nice door that opened up in Mexico, and I get to play summer baseball this year in Mexico, which I'm very excited about.
So just playing, or will you be involved in coaching at all like you were in Fargo?
No, you know, that's something that's it was really special for me to be a coach. But, you know, it was one of those things where I'm looking, you know, near the end of my career, and if I'm going to continue to play, I really want to push myself to continue at the highest level of baseball I possibly can if I want to keep playing. And, you know, Fargo wasn't interested in me just only being a pitching coach, and they loved having me pitch and play and coach at the same time. But, you know, that's why I started looking at other options if I was to just pitch. You know, Guadalajara ended up being a team that reached out and made a good connection with me. And I'm excited to kind of make the best of my situation if I want to keep throwing the ball as much as my body is still willing to.
You know, I have to tell you, Kevin, that like most people when they're reaching, you know, approaching 30 are starting to talk about like the next stage of life. But it looks like you really are defying father time here. I mean, you got your call up to affiliate ball. Now you're playing some international leagues over the last couple of years. Led the league last year in ERA in the American Association. I mean, how are you doing that kind of thing to wind up continuously getting better and better, it seems, with each year?
Well, it's funny that you mentioned that, you know, it's after I turned 30 when all of these amazing opportunities started coming up where, you know, early in my 20s and late 20s, even winning championships, it really didn't open any doors to affiliated baseball or next steps in pitching. But, you know, it just kind of connected with the game that I kind of built upon, which isn't exactly throwing 100 miles an hour. It's trying to take the maturity of being a starting pitcher, trying to be even keel and have consistency. And, you know, just really looking inward at, like, what are my biggest weaknesses and trying to get rid of those from happening. And as I keep getting less and less issues in terms of, like, throwing a third pitch for strikes or, you know, having bad games really affect me mentally, I feel like it just started transitioning into great years and great experiences. Plus, I think when I went back to Fargo to be a pitching coach, it really turned the mental focus of the game, which I think is probably the most important part to being a starting pitcher specifically. Maybe you can be a closer and, you know, throw 100 miles an hour and not have to think too much. But being a starting pitcher and facing nine guys, you know, three, four times through the lineup, you definitely have to turn your brain on. And I really love that part of the game. And I'm certainly enjoying some success as I try to figure out this game.
Well, let's go back just a little bit for me, because COVID season hit and you were not getting off to the best start for yourself in Winnipeg, and you wind up moving on to Fargo at that point. And I think you had talked to me a little bit about that time that you were kind of questioning really what you wanted to do with yourself. Maybe you were thinking that this might be the time to hang it up. But tell us a little bit about how that time in Fargo has reinvigorated you and really given you an opportunity, that second life in your career, so to speak.
Well, you know, it certainly happened with COVID, where, you know, it was obviously a very unsure time in everyone's life, obviously. But, especially with baseball, there wasn't that much baseball to be played. There was a shortened MLB season and the American Association, and that really was it. And we didn't know we were going to play that year until the very last second, like late March, early April, that they were going to put together a 60-game season. So it really kind of came at a disadvantage because I was staying at home with my parents to try to take care of them, and I was very unsure about going out. And obviously, the sickness that was, the pandemic in general, not knowing how contagious it was and everything, it kind of set back any build up to the season. So the mental and physical preparation going into 2020 just really wasn't there, and it certainly showed. And baseball is one of the most humbling games ever if you're not prepared. And, it really didn't matter how amazing my time was with Winnipeg. But if you're not getting outs, then, it's easy to show a guy the door. But, Fargo was just one of those, open doors of understanding and knowing what my true potential might have been. And, I just had a lot of respect for the organization, a lot of respect for the manager. Chris Coast was just such a important part of, getting me back into the game and mentally focusing. So I put all of my attention in the 2021 season for Fargo, and I just kind of hit the ground running as hard as I possibly could and learned from all those humbling mistakes. But after that, just getting that opportunity with the Cardinals, it just opened up all these doors about understanding the game, understanding minor league baseball, and put a new perspective and made the game a lot more exciting to just keep it coming back to the ballpark.
As you look back at Chris bringing you in there to Fargo, what's kind of going on through your mind at that point? Because I would assume you had did so well in Winnipeg for so many years, and how is it when you're going in to start brand new at that time with the Redhawks?
Well, it didn't seem brand new because everyone in Fargo certainly knew who I was. So it wasn't like I needed to do any introductions, but I knew I had, a reputation that I needed to uphold, and 2020 just left such a bad taste in my mouth that I had a lot more to prove than to just be good. And I took that off season and learned a lot from all of my mistakes from 2020 and, applied it as much as I possibly could. And I had, a great team that year and learned a lot just from the end of 2020 with Coast just kind of showing a very different managerial style that I really grew to appreciate and applied to my coaching with anybody that I was working with. And it just kind of clicked immediately, and going to Fargo in 2021 was incredible, and ended up just some fantastic numbers that led to an opportunity I didn't think was going to come in my 30s.
To share with fans out there, I've got to know you for a long time. I think we're on 11 years now that I've known you here, and one thing I've always been interested about you is the fact that you'd have no idea, except for after championships. I don't think I've ever really seen you upset or saddened or overly elated or anything of that. Just a very even keel kind of guy, but underneath there, an incredible amount of passion. So how do you keep that even keel, especially in a game that, as you mentioned, can be incredibly humbling?
Well, it certainly, came with experience. If you met me about 10 years earlier, I probably wasn't that guy. And I think it just came with, going to, two different colleges, getting cut from there, getting a great senior year in college and then not getting drafted, and then getting cut from independent league teams left and right. It becomes that humbling experience that kind of grows into, I can react in a really negative way or a really positive way. And for me, I just realized that the most positive thing I can do on the field is react as even keel as possible because the ball doesn't bounce your way. You know, sometimes you make a great pitch and a broken bat ends up being a hit. And sometimes you make the best pitch of your life and the guy crashes one over the fence anyway. So it just, baseball is that even keel mindset where it's really fun to watch these kids. Well, I call them kids, you know, these are 19, 20, 21 year olds that are probably going to the MLB in minutes and, you know, get to do exciting things. But, if they play in that league for longer, you start seeing that exact same approach where, you know, the longer you stay in baseball, the more you see. And I really appreciate the powerful moments that have happened in my career, and I got to see some incredible things on the field. But the worst thing to do is show a lot of emotion and react because you never know who you're going to affect. You never know who you're in front of. So it just becomes one of those things where it's always take a minute, let it sit in, and then learn from it. And I've found the most success going through that. And I think it just has to do with being a starting pitcher as well. You can celebrate as much as you want through striking out a guy the first game or the first AB of the game, but you're going to have to face another 20 guys. So there's not a lot of excitement that goes on with being a starting pitcher.
Coming back to Fargo after winning the champ, or after being in the Cardinals organization and then winning a championship, was there any point after winning the Miles Wolf Cup where you thought, okay, this is the pinnacle, I've done it all, or was there never any doubt that you're just going to keep going on with your career and trying to get the most out of it that you can?
Well, I came back to Fargo especially to be a coach. And, you know, I said yes to being a coach first and then pitching second for Fargo. And I just looked at my career and realized, you know, I got an opportunity in my early 30s that I thought I would never get again. And I end up having a great moment in 2022 where, you know, I lead the league in strikeouts and I help the team as much as I can. And these guys, you know, pick me up in game 5 of a championship and win it all in front of me. And I get to watch the pitchers that I helped coach basically win the game for me. And that's, that was a really special moment. But, you know, every time when I think about hanging it up, it just makes me think, you know, there's always those moments. I could have hung it up when I was 29 years old. I could have hung it up in 2020 after an amazing career with Winnipeg. And then I realized, well, what could I be missing out on? You know, I could miss out on an entirely new experience in Fargo, winning a championship and being a coach in professional baseball. And then I could have missed an experience, you know, playing in a championship again and helping an organization, you know, giving me new perspective. And I just realized, unless they kind of rip the jersey off from me, it's going to be hard to walk away on top. Because I just know that I'm not in it just to succeed or get called up. I'm in it for every experience that it's going to give me, because it's going to make me hopefully a better person, whether I end up leading the league in this or that, or winning another championship or getting picked up or getting, you know, humbled and embarrassed again, which I've done a million times in my career. So I know I'm okay with that being the case if it ever comes up, but I never want to regret walking away too early and then missing a new teammate that's going to give me a new great perspective on the game and on life.
Lincoln, Winnipeg, Fargo, Guadalajara. Other than not having to pack much for long sleeve shirts, what do you see is going to be your biggest adjustment off the field? We know the game's the game, man. Nothing changes there, but away from the ballpark, what do you see is going to be your biggest adjustment, and how much are you looking forward to it?
You know, my adjustments are always baseball is, yeah, what you said before, baseball is baseball, and the hitters never lie. That's the thing I always believe in. And you know, I got a big lesson learned not preparing enough in 2020. You know, I got a big lesson learned going to Double A going through a crazy COVID year and learning all of the ups and downs and meeting some of the greatest baseball players that are all-stars today, I was running into them in Double-A in 2021 and getting humbled immediately too. So, I mean, that's the best thing about baseball is it's going to humble you. But the hitters are just so talented and so good, and I got to face 9 of them every game. So it doesn't matter who it is at the plate. If I don't have the best stuff I possibly can, then, you know, it's going to be a result that I'm not too happy with. So, you know, I know that it's going to be a different country and a different organization and a different feeling, but I know it's still the game. And all the experiences that I've had coming up to this point, I've always had a positive mindset to rub off on the organization and the other players. So I know a few guys in the league that I have a lot of respect for, and I know that they have respect for me. So, you know, I'm going to run into them, and like a guy like Leo Pena and Roy Morales, you know, really great friends of mine. I'm sure I'm going to run into them, and they're going to be happy to try to tee off on one of my sliders. But, you know, it's going to be something that's like, this is still very familiar to me. So I'm not too concerned. And I'm actually just excited to experience a new culture with baseball being in the background.
Kevin, one thing I've always had a great deal of respect about you in particular is that a lot of times people look back on their time in the Pecos League and discuss it like they don't want to discuss it. They look at that as like a, you know, something that's not to be discussed because it's inferior, quote unquote, kind of thing. You've always been a guy who's touted the Pecos League and how that helped you to get your chance to play in American Association Baseball. And I'm just curious about your thoughts about how that league has developed and your time there in the Pecos League.
Well, first off, I really got extremely lucky with an amazing host family and a great manager to really support, you know, kind of a very low point in my career. And they kind of just welcomed me with open arms. And they really look at baseball in the way that I really appreciate, which is definitely the Pecos League is a for love of the game type of league. And, you know, that's something that I just relate to in a huge way. And if you don't have that mindset, then maybe it becomes one of those things where it's just not a great league. You don't make a lot of money. And the baseball is really inconsistent. But once it became one of those things where the right type of guys that had to go through that and then get opportunities, the league started to become something that mattered because you just need as many opportunities as you can. And, you know, obviously looking at my career, I needed a ton. and I'm still looking for opportunities. So I just appreciate that league for being that opportunity for, you know, a Division III ball player that didn't have great coaches but really believed in the game, or, you know, a guy that came off an injury that ended up throwing 98 and nobody knew about it. Like, I saw all of these types of things in that league. And, It really bonds you because of you're there for the right reason. And the teammates that I have from that league, I hold on to, and they humbled me no matter how good I'm doing or how bad I'm doing. And, you know, about 7-8 years later, I get calls for, you know, when I was in the Cardinals organization, whether it's up or down, I still get guys that reach out to me from the Pecos League, just letting me know where I came from. And, you know, it means a lot. So it's one of those things where you keep looking for motivation, and that league certainly motivates me to keep going because some guys didn't get opportunities after the Pecos League, and they're amazing players and amazing people. And so I try to play for them as well.
Now, I know you're going to be a little modest about this, but, you know, I think that, you know, I think since your start in the American Association, there were probably like 8 or 9 guys in 2014 who played Major League Baseball. You know, the level of talent over the last 10 years is unreal. Now, like, every team has 2 or 3 guys that played on the major leagues at some point. Practically every team is loaded with 12 guys who played Double-A or above. But your stats have gotten better and better. You've improved with every season. Probably the greatest American Association pitcher of all time. How does that feel to hear those kind of things said about you?
Well, I've always said that, you know, sometimes I try to pitch to the competition I'm at, and and guys that are trying to move up and push themselves, I'm trying to match their level as much as I can. And so as the league got better, I just realized I had to get better too. So, you know, the only reason why I'm doing better in my 30s is because of how good the American Association got. And I definitely think that this league turned some Division II college guy that couldn't get drafted into, you know, opportunities later in my career in my 30s, and I got to be a pitching coach professionally is because of what the league started at and where it went. And where it's going is, you know, really on par with high-end, you know, double-A talented ball players that are really special. And, you know, the league really has this really strong place in my heart because of, you know, I had to grow with it. And, you know, that's something that I'm going to take with me no matter where I go. Obviously, the American Association is something I'm associated with, but it certainly made me who I am right now. And hopefully I can take that into being a great coach one day, and I'm going to try to continue to be a great player no matter where I'm going.
Do you embrace the fact that you're likely? I mean, I don't even think there's much consideration. You're probably the greatest pitcher that's ever played in the league. How does that make you feel?
You know, it's obviously conflicting because it's one of those things where obviously I never played for the stats. I mean, I'm probably just a little bit happier to be a part of some championships with organizations that have mattered a lot to me and the impact I had with the cities. I'll say this, it's really truly an honor to be mentioned with, you know, people like Ben Moore and Reggie Abercrombie and people that have been in this league that really matter and that are great ball players. And, you know, it's one of those things where I know that Chris Coe said, you know, right now there's talk that maybe I was the best, in the American Association, but someone will come along and be better. And I'm really looking forward to seeing that happen. And, you know, I got a call from Ben Moore when I passed his strikeout record, and it meant a lot to me because I know it was history and I knew what kind of guy he was from, you know, just the text beforehand and then finally getting the call when I actually got to that point. You know, the American Association, it really is building into this historic piece of baseball history. So it's really special to me. And, you know, seeing the Hall of Fame inductees starting to go in, I was really lucky to be a part of the All-Star teams for those. And, yeah, I'm going to hold that really, really special in my heart if I get the call and get a chance to represent the American Association one more time.
Now, you mentioned Reggie Abercrombie. You had a chance to play with Kurt Smith and Lincoln, now with Leo here in Fargo. Probably three names in American Association history that are going to go down as three of the top 10, 15 guys of all time. How did those guys influence you? You know, you're rising up as a young guy with Kurt Smith, and then your time there in Winnipeg with Reggie and now with Leo. How did they influence you? I'm just kind of curious.
Well, yeah, like I said before, I had to get better because of how well the American Association was getting better. And I got better from the hitters. You know, like I said, the hitters don't lie to you. And the battles that I had to go through playing with Kurt and then going against him was certainly something that was stuff that I still have nightmares about. Why to throw a fastball away? He drives the ball the opposite way better than anyone I've ever seen. And if you hang a breaking ball to Leo Pena, it's going over the left field wall. I know it. So it's, you know, those kind of impacts were always special. But then to be on the other side of the ball in the locker room, it was the first time I ever got a chance to kind of step over that divider between pitchers and hitters. You know, there's definitely a bit of a divide because there's pitcher stretch and then there's BP. So it feels like it's two different teams. I was just the biggest influence on me was, you know, getting a chance to walk in the locker room and talk to more hitters than pitchers because I learned more from them all the way throughout. And especially these guys were a lot older when I was playing and experiencing the league with them. And obviously the biggest impact was Reggie just being an incredible leader in Winnipeg. And I was just trying to fill some shoes along the way. And a lot of leadership skills and just being an amazing human being rubbed off. And certainly, actually all three of them ended up being amazing human beings. So I'm not shocked at all that these guys are the greatest to ever play the game in the American Association. And, you know, it's really proud to be in a conversation or sentence mentioning those three.
If you could go back and give advice to yourself as a guy just out of D3 pitching in the Pecos League, what advice would you give to, let's say, 2013, 2014 Kevin McGovern?
Oh, man, just looking back on that kid, you know, it's difficult to because there's always that talk about having regrets or not having regrets. Looking back, I wouldn't be who I am unless I made all the stupid decisions and reactions along the way. But I guess I would just tell him, you know, to appreciate the struggle. I was struggling a lot and sitting on a lot of buses, and you know, those are going to be moments that I'm going to miss, but you certainly appreciate the people that answered your text and give you that call at 2 a.m. when you got off the bus and you're questioning your life. And those people really stood up and helped push me through. And you know, that's something that, just looking back on it now, it ended up being better than me succeeding and getting drafted and going on. So, you know, I always wanted to be a Major League Baseball player and toe the rubber and, you know, call myself a Philadelphia Philly or play for any American, you know, any MLB team, but and that was the goal. But it ended up being that my career led to where I am now, where it just made me a better person because of the people that were around me and the teammates. So I wish I went out more with my teammates, I guess, is the long form, because those are the guys that helped push me through it. I should have grabbed more beers when I was 2013, 2014, instead of worrying about where the heck I'm going or how poor my career is going.
What are personal highlights for you in your time in the American Association?
Certainly my first week or two with the Lincoln Salt Dogs. It was a roller coaster ride. I had a secret injury that I didn't tell anyone about coming off the Pecos League. I had 15 strikeouts and I think I threw 150 pitches, and they called me up and said, "Can you make a spot start in 2 days?" And I lied to them and said, "Absolutely, my arm's fresh and I can't wait to go." And so that first week, just finally getting a chance, and I felt like it was a big league ballpark, you know, down at Haymarket Park. And, you know, Lincoln was a really special place for me. And the highlight there was meeting that pitching coach, Dan Reichert, and he just saw this green, goofy-looking lefty, and was the perfect attitude and mindset to help me out. Outside of that, game 5 2016 against Wichita really, really stood out to me, cuz I think I gave up like 8 runs in game 1, and Rick Forney looked at me in the 3rd or 4th inning. I was already out of the game. And he said, "What are you moping for? You know you're pitching in 3 days, right?" So he just knew it was going to go to a game 5. And, you know, that was a special moment in my life when the team battled back to get to game 5 and gave me a chance to get the ball again. So, you know, they always say like the rest is history, but that was something that really meant a whole lot to me. And then of course, breaking the strikeout record in front of my dad and my brother was just such a special moment in Fargo. And I was going through that high, because so for that week it was my dad, my brother breaking the strikeout record, And then 4 days later, Chris Coase gave me a hug and said, St. Louis Cardinals, you finally are going to a minor league team for once. So those are definitely the big three for me. And what was special about that is it's from all three of the teams. So they really impacted me equally in certainly different ways.
That's beautiful. You know, your dad has always, I know, been a very big influence on you. So how has that relationship blossomed as he's gone through your career and got to watch all the stuff that you've accomplished?
Well, I mean, you know, from the second I was 2 years old and was able to barely pick up a baseball, that was just something that led to, hey, Dad, you want to have a catch? You know, that emotional, you know, corny line from Field of Dreams. So if you're wondering what kind of relationship I have with my dad, it certainly, you know, stems from that. And, you know, there's just like a lot of back and forth about what I want to do, you know, with my life, and baseball always being the number one thing that my dad just said, just keep going. We're going to support you as long as possible. And, you know, my mom and my dad equally, you know, just in terms of every downfall and every embarrassing moment and getting cut and you know, not being able to know what I'm going to do the next year. They were just there for me all the way through. So as much as my dad always loved coming out to all the games, it was just like an equally balanced force to get me through this career that I'm currently having right now. And it's because my dad and my mom were just never going to judge me and never going to put a doubt in my head that this is a bad idea or you're wasting your life or, you know, this isn't worth it. And I think from, you know, the 21-year-old me to however old I am now, I don't like talking about it. it certainly made me into the guy I am right now. And I just, every time I get a chance to have a dinner or have morning coffee and stop over and hang out with my mom and dad, it's really, really special.
25, isn't it? 25 here now?
Oh, easily. Yep. To just turn that quarter century mark. So.
Well, that is fantastic. So, you know, you're a Philadelphia, Pennsylvania kind of guy around there. So, what kind of things do you watch in the Pennsylvania area that keep you busy during the off season?
Well, so I got a lot of nieces and nephews, and so even if I'm not a big sports fan, being from Philadelphia, you're going to be a sports fan anyway. So it's hard to not turn the Phillies on right now. The last couple of years have been really special, and getting my nephews into it and just loving baseball through that, that's been, you know, really special to watch and experience with them. Definitely diehard Eagles fans as well. I actually love the Flyers myself in terms of if I was going to go to a professional sports. My wife is from Canada too, so I guess hockey shouldn't be that far away from my bloodline. But it's just nice to experience. Everybody from Philadelphia is just diehard sports, and it's definitely a part of the culture here. And you know, that's something that you can't really avoid when you're just talking person to person. So. It's nice to, you know, that's why it's really nice being from Philly. You know, everybody that looks at me and hears about my story is just like, and you're still playing baseball? Awesome. That just sounds like something that, you know, everybody never second guesses or questions about me. And that's just really, you know, something about the area that makes Philadelphia special.
We've got to talk with Dan Vaughn a lot about Australian baseball. I'm just curious about your thoughts about playing there this last year and how you found the level of competition there.
It was definitely definitely balanced between really, really talented hitting and really young guys that are trying to come up. It felt like I'd face a few double-A hitters that are absolutely going to crush anything that I'm throwing. And then I'd run into some really talented college guys that have so much upside and are trying to learn the game and trying to compete. And then if you make a mistake, you're going to get hurt as well. So, you know, Australia felt like this really, I felt very old there first off, but outside of that, I was just trying to bring a lot of perspective to the game that these guys were, you know, really trying to experience. And there's a lot of Korean and Japanese players, especially pitchers that were on that side of the ball, and getting a chance to play with them and learn a whole different side about pitching and baseball in general. From, like I said before, the cultures in baseball are something that I'm really excited to explore, and you know, brought a new part of the game that I never knew about, considering I've been playing this game for, you know, 20 years now, right? So that's been really
ever since you were five.
Yeah, exactly. Since I was five. But yeah, so I mean, Australian baseball, there's definitely big ranges, but the level of, like, I played with a couple teenagers that I guarantee you would be in the American Association about 3 years and then get picked up to a double A team a year after that. So it was fun to just kind of balance out with an unbelievable country and, you know, getting to see, you know, Asian culture that experienced baseball with the respect and level of energy and excitement that come with it. They truly love every single bit about the game. And, you know, that was something that's just infectious. So if I ever get bored of the game, I'll just go back there and find some new inspiration.
Nice. What is your schedule for starting this year then down in Mexico? When do you report for things and get ready for that?
I'm still building up here in Philadelphia, you know, with bullpens and everything. And, I think they just started, or they're about to start this week, and I'm going to arrive down there in about 10 days, maybe a little less, and get a chance to experience Guadalajara and get to meet the team and, you know, just kind of, you know, step into a locker room I've never been in and try to pretend like I'm a rookie again. You know my place, know that it's certainly different than walking into an American Association locker room where everybody knows my name and has heard of me before. You know, it feels like starting over again, and I'm just another guy that probably isn't very good. And then I have to just kind of, you know, show my worth immediately to the team and try to show that I'm a good teammate immediately as well. And it certainly would make this season a lot more fun.
Spectacular. Well, Kevin, you know, you've been a veteran guy on the show, so you know you get to give us a final thought before heading out here tonight. So whatever you'd like to discuss, the floor is yours.
Okay. Final thought. You know, last time I did a final thought, it had to do with the pitch clock and how much I absolutely loved it, and I think that I was totally right about that. So The next stage in this is probably going to be, I really do feel like the American Association is moving to a brand new era after the 2020 season. And it's something that, you know, especially looking back, if that was my last year in the AA, I can't express enough how much fun it was to experience every single level, every single city that the American Association gave a chance for me to visit and experience the level of baseball in the Midwest. You know, so just the final thought, I guess, is, you know, it's really hard to put into words how much I want to thank the American Association. And, you know, no matter what, they're always going to be the most important moments in my life, especially in baseball. And, you know, I think that's just the best way to leave it. And, you know, we'll see what comes in the future. I'm excited to be a coach, and I'm sure the American Association is something that, is going to be around a very long time. So hopefully I can stay in contact and be in touch with that league for many years to come.
I like it. Kevin McGovern, thanks for joining Kevin and I tonight.
Yeah, thanks for doing this.
Thank you guys so much. Sorry to interrupt, but thank you guys so much for having me, and I really appreciate all the content you guys are giving into independent baseball in general. And, you know, there's a lot of stories out there about a lot of amazing ball players and a lot of amazing organizations that are supporting the game of baseball, and I love that you guys bring light to it, and I'm always here if you guys need me for any reason at all, and hopefully I run into you a little bit more often coming forward, you know, in the future.
So, Kevin, amazing having Kevin McGovern on with us tonight, and it's just the guy's like racing mid-30s there. Look at him still rocking out there.
You got to love it, you know, for those us baseball guys that are getting up there in a bit of years, you know, you can't help but to root for the guys that are still bringing it in their mid-30s.
Absolutely, and continues to just be, I mean, again, led the league last year in ERA and always among the league leaders in victories. Can pitch another guy we like because he can pitch 7-8 innings without a problem on most nights and always stays in games and just a real student of the game. Great influence around younger players. That going down to Mexico, his team is going to be greatly blessed by his appearance there.
I mean, heck, I was 37 and I was wrapping up a relatively mediocre beer league softball career. You know, I couldn't even really even think about being able to play baseball at that time.
That's because you were turning to your star performance in the bowling circuit there. So, you know, you had to choose one or the other.
Pan out either, but yeah.
Well, it'd be interesting to see how Fargo was influenced by this, Kevin, because you're going to have a new pitching coach now with Kevin McGovern down there in Mexico and not having him going out there every fifth day for the club. So quite a new faces look, I guess I should say, to the Red Hawks this season.
Well, you think about it, though. They've had a – let's look at who's been pitching coach in Fargo before, though. Michael Schlacht was once pitching coach in Fargo. He's doing all right for himself in the managerial ranks. And that one Montgomery guy was a pitching coach in Fargo. And I'd say he's done okay for himself. So I have no doubt Fargo will have a very good guy in place to be a pitching coach once the season begins. And he'll probably end up becoming a manager of the league.
Very good point. Absolutely. They find a way. In Fargo, it's one of the things that makes him pretty impressive there. So, well, Kevin, let's cruise around other American Association news out there, and then transactions starting to pick up, especially a few days ago. They had quite the list of them going on there, but we're going to start there in Cleburne a week ago, as they signed first of all right-handed pitcher Alex Scherff, I believe is the way that is said. They released Skylar Arias, assigned right-handed pitcher Kyle Johnson, then. They make a slew of trades out there. Austin Faith was signed by Chicago, then traded to Cleburne for infielder Jalen Hubbard and right-handed pitcher Michael Krause. Krause last year, Kevin, actually the last couple of years, has really been a big influence on that bullpen. So Austin Faith is a guy who can bring it too. So both teams really getting a benefit of that trade, I think.
Yeah, you know, I can see a trade like that where both teams are benefiting. But yeah, definitely going to be a different look for Krause being in a dog's jersey.
Bless you, by the way. I forgot to say that after you were sneezing there. Cleveland also trades Dusty.
No, I'm going to be healthy one of these months, Rob.
It has seemed like one of us has been sick for like 5 months.
I feel like I've been sick ever since I got sick right before doing the Lincoln trip last August. It feels like it never really got back on track ever since. So, boy, hey, this guy get better.
I'm with you. We need some. If the weather would stay the same for just a couple of weeks, I'd take that at this point. But like 30 degrees one day and like 75, and then like 15. It's like, can I just get one pattern for a little bit? Also trade infielder Dusty Stroop to Chicago. Cleveland signs left-handed pitcher Jacob Smith and Jace Vines, and then trade Jacob Smith to Schomburg for Christian Scott. And so very busy week there for manager Peter Nkavilya. And some of these guys, I have like no idea what the experience is, but when he's bringing some guys in from the Frontier League, and you know Pete is good a scout on what he's looking for, so he's not making any trades willy-nilly. These are guys he knows are going to be a big prime performers for this club.
And that was something you and I had talked about when Nkavilya took the job in Cleburne, too, that, you know, he's got a pretty good read on who's who in the Frontier League. I'm sure in the right situation, he's going after some guys to bolster up the Railroaders.
So our buddy Tanner Hoops would not give us the scoop on this a couple weeks ago, Kevin, but Sioux Falls does re-sign outfielder Mike Hart, who's turned into, I think, one of the best all-around players in the league. You know, a few years ago, he was a guy who ran 110% all the time, who would go through a wall to make plays, but never really had the big power numbers and had a solid bat. But boy, he's turned into just a completely potent hitter, despite being beamed, you know, every other game, it seems like. So great addition back to re-sign him.
It seemed like that year he had, I believe he was playing for Schomburg, it just like he came back a different hitter, just much more potent, even more confident than before. Just seemed like a changed man, and changed in a good way.
The King County Cougars re-signed infielder Gally Cribbs and infielder Harrison Smith. Cribbs got a lot of glowing review from our buddy Josh Allen there in King County, and just a solid all-around player, great defensive player, great bat for that King County team. It's going to be a real good veteran presence for that club.
Well, no doubt about it. And I stated last year when I was covering some Canaries games in King County that, you know, Cribbs, I believe, is the best all-around fielder in the entire league. I mean, the guy's just a magician out of shortstop.
Absolutely agree with you on that. Lake Country, I'm not surprised by this move at all. Re-signed right-handed pitcher Cirilla Watson, also right-hander Kyle Cody. Watson was a guy they were trying to work into that bullpen last year, Kevin. Had some great stretches where he was pitching. They were trying to get him to be the closer for a while. That did not necessarily materialize, but he's got a live arm, and I know they're looking for him to have another big year.
And you know, the thing, you know, Ken Huckabee's team didn't make the playoffs last year, but what I think was the positive you take out of the season was that they won some ball games, they got some confidence, but that more so they're able to bring some guys in and see if they have and see who could make an impact for them in 2024. And, you know, Watson is going to be one of those guys.
They also signed right-handed pitcher Alexis Rivero. Gary Southshore re-signed infielder Jacob Ockley, acquired from Winnipeg last season. He looked like he was going to be, in all fairness to him, that they were looking for him to replace David Washington after his 30 home run season in Winnipeg. And while he was a pretty decent power hitter, he was just not going to produce those kind of numbers. Eventually traded to Gary. What kind of season do you see him having after, you know, Gary's a bigger size ballpark out there, and he's got a bat that can hit a lot of doubles. So what do you think kind of season he has there?
I don't think he's ever going to develop into a guy that's going to hit 20, 30 home runs, but I think he can be productive hitting first baseman. So I think you're on spot there where, you know, he could be a doubles hitter in that ballpark.
Yeah, I think that's going to be a good call for him. Outfielder Will Decker, also re-signed by Gary. Heading around there, Sioux City signs right-handed pitcher Sergio Murillo and Angel Nesbitt. And there is Fargo signs outfielder Ismael Alcantara. And I think I covered them all. I'm just going to make sure Winnipeg signs right-handed pitcher.
You almost did.
Who did I miss?
Well, the news came out today. I'm guessing you're going by the American Association transaction page, and yes, and those won't update till tomorrow to reflect Monday's deals. But Ryan Zimmerman, veteran of the league, has been traded to Sioux Falls from Milwaukee for future considerations.
Oh, that's a huge deal, because I believe you and I talked with Ryan at the All-Star game last year. He was talking about hanging it up at the end of the season. So good for him to coming back after such an amazing year last year.
I think it's, you know, this is getting into like the investigative part of things, but I believe there's a family or maybe even a work connection with Laverne, Minnesota, because I'm connected with Ryan's parents on Facebook, and somebody commented that he'll be pitching really close to Laverne now. Oh. So that could have been a factor. You know, his parents did the trip out to Milwaukee every time to catch him when he would have a start, and I know it's going to be a lot easier for him and his family. He's married now, too, to go from the Twin Cities out to Sioux Falls to see him pitch, so it'll be a lot easier trek for them.
Well, right on. And I always like having Ryan in the league. Great guy. Phenomenal guy. I did forget to mention Gary Resnick. I'm sorry, go ahead.
Yeah, he's a former Saint, and there's going to be fewer and fewer of those guys out there, so we got to...
Yes.
I have to appreciate that while I can.
Are there just two now? Well, and Justin O'Connor back in the league, so there's three. Am I... Alan?
You know, there could be more. I just do a little digging, but...
Okay. We need our stat boy somewhere out there to come up with that for us.
Don't forget John Silviano. He's back with Fargo.
Oh, it's, yeah, right. You're right. Yeah, that's another one. I did forget to mention today, Will McAfee re-signed by Kansas City and Chris Irwin re-signed by Gary Southshore. So let me throw those in there as well. Quickly going around the other leagues out there, Kevin, in the Frontier League, Lake Erie Crushers were acquired by a local group to keep local ownership of the club. So that's always good, I think, people in the area are invested in the team. I always like that because I think that they dig in more and want to be more involved in making a winner out of their club. The Otters come out with their promotional schedule. I was just kind of curious about your thoughts on this, Kevin. There's a dog day every Sunday. I mean, I think that's kind of cool to do sometime during the year, but is it overdoing it to have it every Sunday during the season?
I don't think so, because Sundays are generally a tougher day to get a good crowd, especially if you're playing a day game. There's just some people that don't want to go out in the warm weather like that. And I think dog days have proved to be pretty popular wherever teams have had them. So I think when you make it consistent like that, too, where they know every Sunday's going to be a dog day, there's no question on, well, are they doing it this week or not, or what's going on here? So, yeah, Kansas City's going to do it for every Monday night game.
Okay.
And I think that's because of the... There's not a lot of Monday games, so you're not, like, overloading it with Monday dog nights or whatever. So I'm trying to do research on the 2019 St. Paul Saints as I'm talking here, so that's why I'm sounding a little scatterbrained here.
No problem. You
got me really pushing on who is still in the league.
Quebec City also was awarded the 2024 All-Star Game for the Frontier League this year, so congratulations to them. Sure, that'll be a fantastic event. Amazing that they're doing this, too, because it was just a few years ago that they were just a traveling team for COVID year and now getting to host the All-Star Game, so I'm pretty happy for them. That's an exciting time for the club out there. In the Atlantic League, now I think this is a little over the top, Kevin. I just got to honestly tell you. So Quacker Jack, the mascot for the Long Island team, was named the best team mascot in Long Island. Okay. And to take a MASH reference from Major Charles Emerson Winchester III. This is like, to me, like being the best hockey player in Ecuador. I mean, how many mascots are there in Long Island that this guy wins the award? So I didn't know if that was like a significant thing or not.
Well, is there a Long Island University?
I guess. I mean, even if there is, are you competing against like two other people, other mascots?
Keep in mind the New York Islanders are on Long Island. I do not know who their mascot is, but I'm sure they have one.
Okay.
And there could be other minor sports being played in Long Island. So.
Okay, maybe I'm being overly critical then, Kevin. So thank you for humbling me on that one, because I was looking at that going, wow, okay. So that's terrific. But all right. So Kevin
but
got
anything
me corrected.
To drop a mash line, I guess.
Exactly. Okay, did we come up with our numbers so far?
It looks like just the ones that we mentioned.
Okay. So, man, we know our stuff there. We have something going on. How about our shout-outs for this week, Kevin?
I'm going to give today's shout-out because I'm going to do it in kind of a backhanded sort of way because I didn't want to mention why she is my shout-out for the week. And it's going to be Caitlin Clark, the Iowa basketball player who is now the leading scorer in NCAA basketball history, not just women's or men's, but both. She's past Pete Maravich. I'm going to mention that because I'm not going to say she's a poor college student because with the NIL money out there now, she does have endorsement deals. I know with Hy-Vee Girl, she stores for sure and probably a couple other places. So she actually might even be taking a pay cut once she joins the WNBA.
That could be true.
You know, she's become a role model for so many young women in Iowa and, frankly, around the entire United States as to what kind of a basketball player to be. Contrasting to what happened yesterday in LSU South Carolina game, where their women decided to get in a fight on the court. There was one instance where one player was pulling another player's hair while they were going for a rebound after a free throw. And then eventually there was just a fight at midcourt, which featured one of the player's brothers jumping out of the crowd to join the fray. And, yeah, that's just not acceptable in today's society. You know, we still have to be trying to preach sportsmanship, and now we have women in college basketball getting into knockdown, drag-out brawls. So good to have a role model like Caitlin Clark out there showing the women and future basketball players of tomorrow how to do it.
Absolutely, and, yeah, she is a huge, huge deal around here. Not a Hy-Vee store you can go into without a big Caitlin Clark figure standing up in front of you when you walk through the door. On that good note, Kevin, see, that was a good lead-in here tonight. My shout-out is to the city of St. Louis. My grandson had a tournament there for hockey to close out his season there. And just the friendliest city I think I've been to in a long, long time. I mean, every place we went to, the people were incredibly friendly and talked to you about whatever's going on. It started at Waffle House, a favorite place of mine to go. I love the Waffle House. And the guys who were working there were amazing. One guy was sharing, he was reaching the 200,000th customer in his time at Waffle House that he'd served. First of all, that amazed me that Waffle House kept a record of how many customers somebody had served in their time there. I thought that's pretty cool too. But 200,000 he was approaching. I thought that is really something. And just talking to him about that when we went to the toy store for my grandson, the guy who talked to us there was super nice. And every place we went around to, just very friendly city. I enjoyed that immensely. So my shout out to St. Louis, a good town out there, I thought.
It's amazing some of the things that people will keep track of number-wise, huh?
Yeah. Yeah, that's quite a number, 200,000 customers. I mean, that's pretty amazing to me. So fantastic.
And Tom Whaley would be glad to hear that, you know, Tom being the old St. Louis guy.
Amazing town. Absolutely sure. Well, Kevin and I want to once again thank Kevin McGovern for joining us here again this week. We'll be back next week. I don't know who our guest will be, but you know it'll be somebody great from the American Association. So for Kevin Loco, I'm Rob Fanier. We'll see you next time on This Week in the Association.